What happens when you speak of someone often in your podcast? What do you do when you're talking and they keep coming up as part of your conversation? What might be best when you've talked about them enough times that maybe your guests are getting to know them more than you think? What do you do? Well, you invite them to be a guest on your podcast. That's what you do. And guess what? That's what I did. And I'm really happy and so very excited to let you know that in this particular episode, my husband, Troy Korup, the person you hear me speak about so often, has agreed to join me in a natural and organic conversation. And guess what? We have no idea what we're going to talk about. We've just set the intention of the following: awaken with animals and activate a deeper and meaningful life with them. The whole part and reason why this podcast exists in the first place. So come and join us. Come get to know Troy even better. Hear the stories that we talk about, the animals that come forward, and so much more. Troy Korup joins us in this very special episode. Let's listen and let's do that now. Hi, everybody. It's Mary Beth Haynes, and I'm the gal who speaks with animals and the host of the Awaken with Animals podcast. Awaken with Animals is a collection of inspiring channelings from the animals themselves and messages of guidance from them, those that we call our friends. Anything from the journey of healing to the celebrations of life, there's an animal who has a story to tell, a lesson to teach us, and a gift to provide to us all. This podcast promises to bring you uplifting inspiration and divine loving guidance. So be prepared to be amazed at just how profoundly deep an animal's message can be, why they are here to assist humanity, and to learn just how many blessings they have to share with you. It is my heart's intention that as we awaken with animals, we will activate a deeper and meaningful life. Hey, everybody. It is Mary Beth Haynes, also known as the gal who speaks with animals. And I want to welcome you back to this podcast and to this particular episode. If you've been here for a while, welcome back. And if you're just new and you're kind of checking out the waters here and seeing what this is all about, a warm welcome to you as well. I am really excited for this particular time together because I have a really special guest, and I think I'm a little bit biased here because my guest, if you've heard this podcast before, you've heard me mention him a lot. So I usually will mention my husband, Troy, and he'll come up from time to time in different things that I talk about on these podcast episodes. And it's been a long time coming where Troy and I have talked about having him as a guest on the Awaken with Animals podcast here. And we finally got to the time and the place, and we're here together. So without further ado, I would love to introduce to you all my amazing husband, Troy Korup. Oh my goodness, I said your name the wrong way. I said Korup. Did you hear that?
Korup. It's all good. Seriously.
We've known each other for how long? 18. It's going to be 18
since
years this year. Yeah. I just said your name the wrong way.
You're in host mode. That's exactly what happened.
That's
there.
Why.
Because I don't think you've ever gotten that near wrong or different, let's say.
Isn't that hilarious? So I'm going to repeat that. It is my pleasure to introduce my husband, Troy Korup. Troy, welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. I've had to travel such a long way to get here.
You did.
5 steps into the next room, which is my very office.
I appreciate the strategizing and the planning that it took to do that.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So, Troy, as like with all my episodes, you and I don't really have an agenda or a plan, or we don't have things that we know we're going to be talking about. But we do know why we're here. We're here because you've been mentioned many times on the Awaken with Animals, and you've come forward in different conversations that I've had or different things that I've shared. So we do know that this has to do with animals, and we do know that this has to do with us and animals and this particular podcast. So awaken with animals and activating a deeper and meaningful life with them. So I don't know, where do you want to start?
That we do know, yes. Now, where do we want to start? That's something perhaps I'm not prepared for. I'm not sure where to
That's
start. So,
okay, because that's what's doing it
yeah.
organically means, right? You know, why don't we go back? So okay, here's something that's coming forward for me. So let's go back to when we met. So you've already mentioned it. We met in 2006. Mutual friends of ours decided that they wanted to set us up together. And you can let me know if I've ever misunderstood this, but my understanding is so Heidi and Ted, you worked with Ted, I worked with Heidi, we were all friends, and you and Heidi used to work together. And they wanted to set us up, but when they talked to us each individually about this, we both said we're not really looking for a setup, but if it was kind of like a casual dinner together, you know, that kind of thing, we'd be open to kind of seeing what it might be like to meet each other. Is that, did I remember that correctly as how you remember that?
Absolutely. Yeah, dinner or even tea, coffee, you know, anything like that to not call it a date. Just, I don't know, ease off any pressure or expectations, just chill and get to know you that way with two other people that we knew as well.
Exactly. And they had really good intentions of doing that. And but it never kind of happened. And then life kind of happened and time started just passing. And so you finally took the reins. And what happened from there?
You could call it a high school thing. So I said, Ted, can you ask Heidi to ask Mary Beth if I could have her phone number and possibly give her a call sometime? And I don't know the exact span of time, but say a few days later, even 3, 4, 5 days, I don't remember, but I got a hold of your number and gave you a call.
That's right. And I remember Heidi coming because we were really good friends, but we also worked together. That's where we met. So Heidi and I were at work one day, and she said, you know, Troy's asked, you know, Ted and I obviously aren't getting this together. And so Troy asked if he could give you a call. Can I give him your number? And I said, sure. Yeah, absolutely. So I do remember it was a Friday night because I remember that I was going to an event that night, and you actually, the timing was perfect because you called me like, I don't know, an hour and a half before I was meant to go out. And we did chat for a while, and I remember feeling so comfortable, like, you know, who's this guy? All I know is that this guy's name is Troy, and I'm talking to him on the phone, and had no idea what you looked like, had no idea what you were about or anything like that. But I once we met, so let's fast forward a little bit. Once we met, and this is where I was going, when this was coming to me a few minutes ago, I remember we met and everything, but then we decided to get together again and we were going to go for a walk and we were going to go walk along the canal, the path along the canal. And I remember, really having like things were going really well, everything was smooth. I was really enjoying myself. And I remember we started talking about, you know, I don't know how we got on it, but I told you that I had a tenant in my house at the time, and I had three cats, and she had my tenant had a cat, so there were four cats there, and that one of my cats talked. Do you remember
Yes, I do. Yes.
that? And so the canal where we live here is not far from where my house was at the time. And I can't remember, did we get in the car and go there or? We went for a walk first, and then we were going to come back to the house because you wanted to see my talking cat.
Yes, I think we walked.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because the path went off the canal and then it went in behind the road. And yeah, I remember that now. And then it took us over to the area. Got it. So I remember bringing you into my house for the first time and all the kitties coming down the stairs to greet us. And you took out your phone and you turned on your camera. And I remember who came down the phone. Do you remember who came down the stairs first?
No, I don't.
So
No.
think Mushi, Kitty, Speedy, and Athena. Who would have come down first?
Mushy?
Yes, absolutely. Mushi was always the first one. So Mushi came down first, and with your camera, you said, "Is that the one?" And I'm like, "Nope."
That I remember.
Yeah. So who came down second?
Well, I guess because it took a long time to finally get to Kitty. So, Speedy.
Yeah, it was Speedy that came down second. Yeah. And then you said, "Is that the cat?" And I said, "No." And
That
then
I remember clearly. I kept asking, is that the cat? Is
yeah.
that the cat? Is
Is
that
that
the
him? Is
no, no, no.
that him? So Mushi comes down the stairs first. Is that him? No. Speedy comes down. Is that him? No. Athena comes down. Is that him? I'm like, no, that's Athena. And then all of a sudden Kitty comes down and you said, "Is that him?" And I'm like, yep. And then you said, "Oh, and so what did Kitty do?
I don't remember.
Did he talk?"
Did he talk right there and then?
Yeah.
No, I don't think he did then.
No,
No.
he didn't at all. And it was kind of funny because I'm like, it's kind of like a Snuffleupagus thing. It's kind of like he'll talk when nobody else is like there watching or, you know, and as soon as you give him attention for talking, he's like, "What? Me? I'm not saying anything." Right? So to give you more of an idea of who Kitty is, who we're talking about right now, and what Troy and I are sharing right now. So Kitty was this beautiful soul friend of mine in the form of a cat. He was beautiful black fur, green eyes, and he would talk and he would say hello. So if you go on like YouTube or you go on the internet and you look at talking cats, you can see all these clips of cats that sound like they're talking and what they're saying. He would say hello so clearly, and he would sound like a little boy, kind of like a mix between a little boy and a wise old man. I don't know if that makes sense at all, but and he'd be like,
Oh yes. Well, for me
"Hello."
it does. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I totally get it.
Yeah, absolutely. And he'd be like, "Hello, hello, hello." And he would just say it. And so he would never do it on command. So like I said, it was kind of like a Snuffleupagus thing on Sesame Street. They all would, you know, Big Bird would see Snuffleupagus, but whenever he told the rest of the gang, they never believed him because he was never there. And so they always thought that Snuffleupagus wasn't real. So it was kind of like Kitty was there and you saw Kitty, but it was kind of like the talking or saying hello. You know, I know you believed me, but I could never prove to you because he would never do it when you were there. But he
I
did do
believed you
it.
100%. I just had
Yeah.
that feeling. Like, I mean, I was getting to know you, and you could have been an alternative kind of person, let's say. But no, I had a feeling like, but you were, I sensed a bit of nervousness that
Yes.
I hope he doesn't think I'm making this up, have my cat
I
talk.
know. Exactly. And who is this girl that I'm just getting to know? And she's really into like all her cats and, you know, all this stuff. And now she's telling me one of her cats talks. And, you know, so I think you knew from a very early start to us getting to know each other that I was a little bit out of the box.
Definitely. Yep. In a good way.
Good way, thank you. I do remember though that so Kitty never did it around you for quite a while, but then there was one night that you it was later on at night because a lot of times Kitty would do this late at night or he would do it really early in the morning. And so there was a time that you were there and Kitty was at a distance. Do you remember?
Yes.
And he started coming. Hello, hello. Do
Oh,
you remember
yes.
that?
I'll always remember that. It's like it were yesterday. That was amazing and creepy.
Yeah. So what, so instead of me telling the story, why don't you tell the story of how you it came for you when he did that, when he finally did let you hear him?
Well, yeah, just at it was at a distance at first, and it's almost unbelievable, like you told me, but for it to actually happen and hear it. So at a distance, it was just a little, hello. What's that? But then it got louder, hello, and louder, and it was getting closer, and I'm getting chills now. It was creepy. It was just creepy as hell. Especially it being a black cat, but you don't see the cat yet. That's the thing. You hear
Yes,
the
you just hear
hello.
his
It
voice
sounded
coming
like a little
closer.
boy. It sounded like a little boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Should you have not told me about that, it would have been almost or if not traumatic,
Right, right,
hearing a little
right.
boy come closer when you know a little boy doesn't live in the dwelling.
In the house. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. And that reminds me of Kitty talking. So remember how I mentioned, when you and I got to know each other, I had a tenant living in the house, and then another tenant. Actually, no, I had two tenants living in the house. And then after we had gotten to know each other, a third tenant came and rented out my basement.
Yes.
And so I let him know. So each time that a tenant would come in, so there was three, I would let them know, I know this sounds a little crazy, but I just want to let you know that you might hear my cat say hello, and you might hear it really early in the morning or late at night. I just want you to know that if you hear it, it sounds like a little boy, or it sounds like kind of like a little boy slash older man, like a wise old man. You're not going crazy. The house is not haunted. It's my cat, honest to goodness. And so the gentleman that rented the basement, I told him that. He's like, oh, okay, whatever. He kind of looked at
Yeah,
me like
whatever.
funny,
Yeah.
but whatever, right? And then he came up the one day and he went, oh my gosh, he said you weren't kidding. And I said, about what? He said, your cat, Kitty. He said it freaked me out so much. He said, because it was pitch dark, right? He was sleeping.
Yeah.
He was going to sleep. And Kitty came down the stairs. So all he could hear was this hello,
Oh.
hello, going down the stairs
Yes.
and then walking closer and
Closer
closer
in the
and closer
dark,
to him.
in the dark, getting
In the
closer.
dark.
You know, some people, they panic,
Yes.
and so it's fortunate that he didn't panic, because Kitty could have been hurt, right? Could have been kicked or
Oh,
anything could have happened.
gosh.
So that's fortunate.
Yeah, he did know. So he said that he knew, but he said that he never could understand what I meant by him saying hello until he heard it. And he said it scared him so much that he slept with the lights on for the rest of the night.
Don't blame
And
them.
yeah, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either.
No.
And when I went down to do the laundry the one day, the laundry doors, if you remember, there was two,
I do.
I can't remember what kind of doors they were, but there was the one going into the washer dryer and the other one going into the furnace area, right? And so the one that went into the furnace area always popped open. It never would close fully. So I went down to do the laundry the one day and he had propped something up against the door so it wouldn't pop open, because ever since Kitty did that, he got a little spooked. But it's really interesting, because that's kind of how you and I really got into animals, was knowing that I had Kitty and Mushi, and then Speedy, of course, was Karen's kitty that was in with Mushi and Kitty for a while, and he was like, oh, Speedy's such a great guy.
Yeah.
And then Athena, of course. So to make a long story short, because we've been talking a lot about this, that's kind of how we really got to know each other, was through the animals. I mean, I know we talked and we got to know each other too, but it was really, I don't know, it was really the animals that I saw us getting closer together with. Would you agree?
Oh, I completely agree. I'll tell you this, how I feel about it. Like a household, some households, it's maybe it's not appropriate to have animals for whatever reason. Just the dynamics aren't right.
Right.
Or a person is very allergic. That's another story.
Oh my gosh, yes, we have to talk
But
about that story too.
oh, okay. But yeah, but when someone just says, no, I don't have an animal because I hate animals. That would be very tough for me to want to continue to get to know that person. I'm sorry if I'm offending anyone out of that. I doubt that I am, but that's just how I feel personally.
Right.
That like if a person says they hate animals, they can't stand them, that just says something. Anyway, I'm just glad you loved animals.
Yeah, me too. And that brings us to that next part, right? That you said that's another story. So going back to, our second time getting to know each other, we met for the first time and that went really well. We ended up watching a movie. Then we got together again. We went for a walk along the canal. And I remember us sitting along the side of the canal, and I was telling you about the cats, and I was telling you about Kitty and how I could talk. And then we thought, I said, do you want to meet them? Or we were talking about you meeting them or something. And that's when we decided to go walk to the house. But I remember when we were sitting there, you said, yeah, sure. And then you said,
Oh, I said, I'm very allergic to cats, something like that.
yeah. And I remember you following that up with, I hope I'm not going to be allergic.
Okay.
And I
Yeah.
remember going, oh, my heart thunk. And I went, no. I went, oh my gosh, this guy really seems to be an amazing guy. I'm really starting to like this guy. Something feels really right here, and I've never felt this before. And then I heard that and I went, oh my God, what's going to happen if he's really allergic to animals or he's really allergic to cats and things are going really well? I don't know what I'm going to do because I'm not giving up my cats. But I meant
Exactly.
it in a way like, oh my gosh, I can't give up my cats, but I don't want to give this up either. So you know how your mind starts to create all these
Oh,
scenarios,
yes.
right?
Yep.
And so you ended up being, because when you'd come by, you were pretty much okay. You would leave when things would start to kind of flare up, right?
Yes, I would.
Yeah. So it's not like you walk in the door and you're like, sneezing or hiving or anything like that.
Yeah, it
It
would
took a
take some
little
time.
while. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I picked up a tool, a helpful tool along the way. It's a like a tapping procedure, like acupuncture without the needles. Tried and true, well proven, and I mastered it and did this form of acupuncture, let's say, by tapping on different parts of my body. And yeah, I got rid of the allergies.
You did. You did. There was one night, I think it was New Year's. You were staying the night because we were celebrating New Year's, and you were staying the night, and you actually had to leave because the hives got so bad. And do you remember that night?
I do. It was pretty bad. Yeah,
Yeah.
one side of my neck especially.
Yeah, it
Yeah,
was really
you could
bad.
visibly see it. So it
Yeah.
wasn't psychological or anything. It was there. It was real.
Oh, it was real. Absolutely. And then you left. And then I thought, oh my gosh, how is this going to work? But you never gave up, and you never Like, you know, when we have a really not a comfortable situation, when things happen, we have a severe allergic reaction to something, it's not fun. And it's very uncomfortable. And yet you still came back and you still didn't, you know, I don't know if you maybe thought, is this going to work or not because of that, but you didn't give up.
Yeah, it forced me into a breakthrough, and that was attracting that tool. Also, I think it's been quite some time now, but I think I worked somewhat, not radically, but like eating a bit better, you know, more vitamins, vitamin C, maybe drinking more water and stuff, just things to also build my immune system. And yeah, I overcame it.
It was
Big time.
amazing. Yeah, it was amazing. It really was amazing. I remember when timing just, so it was about almost a year. And we were dating for almost a year. And then the house that you were renting was sold. And you, no, I sold my house. That's what it was. I was selling my house.
Yes.
And I was finding another place to live. And then within about the same month or so, like within the, like, say, a 4 to 6 week span, you all of a sudden got word from your landlord that your house was being sold, that you were renting. And so timing had it where we decided, okay, well, then let's get a place together. And we did. And then that's when you actually were living with Kitty and Mushi, and you had another massive hive. Your neck was like, was out in hives in your face and everything. And I remember you starting to do the tapping. You started doing tapping and you started working it through. I can't, it was astounding to see how you were actually able to have it where you don't hive anymore. I mean, we're 18 years later now, but.
Yeah. It just wasn't an option. So like there was no way. It just, how could that be an option? I had to overcome it, which shows you once you make a decision on something, it's amazing. The power
and
there.
Anything is possible. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everything is possible.
You were able to work that through with yourself. So for everybody that's listening, or if this is, cause we're on video as well. So if anybody's watching the video, what Troy's talking about with the tapping points, you may have heard it as emotional freedom technique, EFT, tapping, those types of things. And Troy, studied it and really, obviously, as you can hear, used it to be able to rid himself of the allergies that he was having to the cats. But you also used EFT with the cats.
Yes, so, I did.
Yeah. And with phenomenal results. You use it with Nemo.
Amazing. Yeah.
And it's just phenomenal. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, I'm not like a practitioner, doctor, or scientist or anything like that. I'm someone who just took the self-mastery course of EFT, emotional freedom technique. And yeah, it's worked. I've helped some friends and other people and animals. So with animals, you might be picturing, oh, am I tapping on points of the animal? I hear that's possible, but I never learned that. What I do is I tap on myself while tuning into the animal that I'm working on. And so while I tap on myself and whatever the issue is, there's a whole process to that, which is quite simple once you get the hang of it. Then you can potentially resolve an issue. With EFT, I think try it on everything because it will either do nothing or it'll help. I don't believe it'll ever harm. I don't think it's ever something that can harm. And like when you see an animal that never does a certain action and you start tapping and that animal all of a sudden goes into a laying position. Do you remember that specific laying position that Mushi did?
I do. So maybe we'll preface the story a little bit. So Mushi, when Mushi was here in physical form, he was this beautiful orange and white cat, and he was alpha. So he wanted to be, so he was alpha of the other animals, but he was also wanting to be alpha of the whole house. And he had anxiety. And so the way that he worked through his anxiety was by being very bossy or being very feisty, and also by attacking. So he would attack other animals. He attacked Troy. That's another story. But that's how he worked through his anxiety. So it got to the point where his anxiousness would get so bad that he needed to be helped to calm down. Now, this wasn't, I'm trying, it sounds like it's pretty severe here, and it was, but it's not like he was hurting other cats all the time or hurting us all the time or anything like that. He wasn't. It's just when he went into modes of anxiousness, that was his way to cope, and that's how he learned to cope. So Troy started tapping surrogately for Mushi because Mushi was having really bad anxiety. He did go after Kitty, and we he was on he started I can't remember if he was pacing around or what he was doing, and you started surrogate tapping for him, and you started surrogate tapping for the anxiousness he was feeling, and you were specific to that. So going to what you asked about the position that Mushi went in, the way I remember it is he all of a sudden stopped what he was doing, kind of had this look of what's happening. And he was still standing up, but he put, while standing up, he put his head down and laid it on the ground. Do you remember that? It was
I
a
do.
very weird position for him, but
Well,
it was
yeah.
like, that's how he was like, I'm feeling really calm now. And he went and he actually put his head down, and then he lied down on the ground, like not lied down flat, but
Yeah.
went and calmed.
It was very unusual, and it's something I've never seen him do. And it was right with the tapping. So I say it's 100% related to the tapping that was done surrogately.
It was the proof that I needed to know that I knew the tapping worked, and I knew because I had seen you do it with the allergies, all of that kind of stuff. But to witness it, to actually see you do it, surrogate, and to see Mushi's response, and to have him calm down and say,
Yeah.
okay, I'm gonna lie down on the ground now and I'm gonna be calm. Like
Yeah.
I And to see him look like, what's going on right now? Like
Yeah.
he was kind of like, what's happening? I'm feeling different. And he calmed down. It was amazing. And
Yeah.
that was, I'm like, oh my gosh, 100% this works.
Yeah, that showed it. You're right, because like tapping on myself and taking away the hives on the neck and that still can be the power of belief, right? I could have believed it was working,
True. Yeah.
that it could have taken it away. But yeah, with Mushi, no way.
Yeah, it was amazing. And then with Nemo, when Nemo would have upset tummies, so Nemo has been diagnosed with IBD, so intestinal bowel, and he was having, before the diagnosis, he was having severe abdominal upset, and he'd wake us up in the middle of the night, and he'd be pacing, and he was just in so much discomfort. And Troy, you've done EFT with him on that,
Yes, I have.
and we've noticed a difference. Like he didn't
Oh,
have that
yes.
profound change like Mushi did, but he was able to come to a point where he could be comfortable enough to settle. Didn't mean that he still wasn't feeling discomfort. But he was able, he would stop pacing, and he would actually be able to take that breath and try and get back to sleep. Now that we know what it was, and we've got things to help him with that, but the EFT definitely, definitely.
I say it was definite too, because if I recall, Nemo did some specific actions as well that were more unusual as I was tapping.
He
Again,
stares at you.
coincidence? I think not.
Yeah. He stares at you. He goes and he starts looking and he stares at you. So he goes from a point where he's so uncomfortable and he's just trying to work it through. So he's pacing around and then he stopped pacing and he stared at you. And he just, and every time you do it since, so if there's, you know, other things that are going on that you've done EFT for him for, he'll stare right at you and he'll just watch you as you tap and as you talk. And you look at him and you tap on the different things and you talk about what it is that you're tapping for. Excuse me. And that's how I know it's working because he stops whatever's happening with him and he will not stop eye contact with you.
Yeah, it's like if he could talk, well, he can, but if he could speak English, he would say, "Troy, what are you doing right now?" Not in despair, but just a question, like something's going on.
Why is this changing? What's happening? There's something that you're doing and I'm feeling it. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. Are there any other memories that you wanna that come forward for you that, you know, how have animals, you know, this podcast is called Awaken with Animals, and it's all about an opportunity to activate a deeper and meaningful life with them, because of them, you know? And so is there anything that comes forward for you? It could be with our animals that we've shared together. It could be with animals in your past from childhood. You know, is there any stories that you want to share about an animal that's really touched your life?
Nemo. And it was so interesting because, like, when we first met Nemo, it was wonderful. I like fell in love, and Nemo would come up on my lap and everything. But fast forward when we were able to have Nemo join our family, and we brought Nemo home. I think it was like, the next morning that he decided that he was going to be a protector of Mary Beth. And like, did we have a connection yet? Maybe, but not a strong one, or one that I was picturing where I wanted to get to. So I walk out of the bedroom and Nemo's like on a bed near Mary Beth, and the first thing Nemo does is just in case that wasn't heard, I'm sure it was a growl and by the microphone. But I didn't get upset or anything. I just went, "Nemo, hey man, I'm not doing anything. There's no problem here." And even when I Mary Beth had Nemo on her, which was right from the start,
Yeah,
like,
we got attached at the hip right
oh
from
my
the beginning.
goodness. Like, I could tell that when I went to touch Mary Beth, when Nemo was on her, he never snapped or anything at me, but he would assess the situation and make sure she's okay. So what's wonderful is, again, fast forward, I've known Nemo for so long now, that we have developed a beautiful relationship. When I come in, he runs to me and smiles. He's a smiling dog, by the way. No kidding about that. It's quite amazing to see. And he just is so happy to see me when he's on Mary Beth, and I go to touch her. Like, he's, if anything, he'll wag his tail sometimes. If not, he'll just look and go, "This is nice." So yeah, we've become so close, so close. It's
So
amazing.
close. So close. And the way that I see it, like how I can view it when you come in, is that when you come in, he gets so excited and he runs down the couch stairs and he runs right over to you. And he's like a wiggle bum. His bum is just wiggle, 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 wiggle. And then as soon as you reciprocate to him and say, "Hey, hi, buddy," he runs away, comes back up the couch stairs, comes over back over on the couch, and then you have to go over there, and he smiles the whole time. And when he smiles, he reminds me of Sheldon on The Big Bang Theory. So if anybody ever seen Sheldon smile on The Big Bang Theory, and then put that same type of smile on a Chihuahua's face, that's Nemo. And he smiles and he is so excited and happy to see you. And
it's so delightful.
If you,
Oh, absolutely. If you want a wonderful visual of this, by the way, I made a video. Feel free to ask Mary Beth, and if you request it, and I'm sure she wouldn't mind sending you that YouTube link with that point of two different points of view of Nemo being so happy when either of us come in.
Yes. Yeah. The one point of view was you coming in. So you had the camera coming in and seeing Nemo. And then the other point of view was where I held the camera when you came in. So we got the view from the other way. I don't think in those videos, I don't think Nemo smiled in the way that we've been talking about, but you can definitely see the happiness and the joy.
Yeah. And if you look closely enough, you will catch a smile, just not the big smile that we get so much of the time. That's quite amazing. But yeah, you'll see a bit of the smile, and definitely him being very happy.
Yeah. Aw, Nemo. When we were looking, so Mushi passed, so Kitty passed away in, it was Christmas Day, 2010. And Mushi passed away January 30th, 2017. And, oh yeah, Mushi was still here in the physical when we got Nemo. So I can't remember what it was, but you and I were, we went away. I think we went to Collingwood, and we were there and we were talking about the possibility of maybe getting another animal, inviting another animal into our lives. And we talked about the possibility of maybe, cause we had cats for so long, that maybe we would look at is maybe there's a dog that wants to adopt us, right? And we just talked about the possibility. We didn't say, you know, we're going to do this on this day, or when we get back, we'll start looking, or anything like that. We just talked about, you know what, maybe that's an avenue that we're going to, you know, see more about. And then I think we got back on the Monday, whatever. And by the Tuesday or the Wednesday, it was within like 24, 48 hours when we got back. And I remember when I was on social media at the time, I was on Facebook and I was looking through my feed, and all of a sudden this most beautiful, amazing Chihuahua comes up saying, "This is Nemo. He's looking for his forever home." And my heart jumped out of my chest going, "Oh my gosh, there's something about him." And so you were working, and I remember saying, because we were both working from home, and I remember saying to you, I don't know if you were on a break or if you were finished for the day. I don't remember the time, but I said, "Can I show you something? Remember, we were just talking about a dog."
Oh yes.
Look at this guy. And I remember you looking at my computer screen, and I heard from, cause I wasn't looking at you cause you were looking over my shoulder, but I heard this. Oh, like I heard this sound come out.
Yeah.
And we just knew. We just knew that there was something. We just had to meet him.
I knew that for sure. That I remember. I knew I had to meet him. There was like, I thought I would regret it if I didn't at least follow through.
Yeah.
And meet him. The photos were saying so much about him.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely a soul connection.
Yes.
As soon as we saw him, and it was at two separate times, but as soon as we both saw him, we both, it's like that soul's call out to say, "Hey, it's, you know, it's time to come back home together. Let's connect again."
Yes.
It is so amazing. So, and I mean, the rest is history, right? Nemo came, he adopted us when he was 3 and a half, almost 4, and he's now 13. So it's, I just love him. I just love him so much.
Look at her face. So she no lie. I said Chino Lai, not Chino like.
Yeah. Definitely not lying about that. So,
no.
yeah. Well, I just want to say, Troy, that I am so glad that, 18 years ago, well, not quite 18, but this will be our 18th year.
Coming up, yeah.
Yeah. And I am so grateful that Heidi and Ted were the ones that got that little heart poke saying, hey, it's these two, let's get them together. I'm really grateful that you took the initiative to call me when we actually weren't able to connect and meet yet. And I'm so grateful that, I don't know, it's like I told you, it's like I was looking for you my whole life. Like even as a kid, I knew I was looking for somebody. I just didn't know who it was or what it was. And as soon as I met you, that went away. And so I'm just really, really, and I'm so grateful that it's all been about the animals too, because you and I don't have human children. We have,
Right.
our children have fur and scales and.
Yeah. We chose not to have human children. And, we've had, these beautiful beings in our life. And, by the way, right back to you. I'm so grateful. My goodness, time flies.
Time flies.
And here we are. Yeah. But I'm really enjoying this journey with you.
Oh, so am I. So am I. And, I mean, we could talk for hours about the experiences that we've had with animals, the messages that we've received after they've transitioned to spirit. There's so much that you and I have really experienced together.
Maybe for a later date. You're right, there is much more to talk about, and
there
we
is.
Could get onto some other topics. I'd
yeah.
be glad to, by the way, just so you
Yay!
know. I've enjoyed this, but
awesome.
I think I feel we've covered quite a bit today.
Part one.
Yes, part
yeah.
one.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. I will say one more thing, and I've
Sure.
said this before to you, but I've never said it on the episode or on the podcast here. So thank you for being open to all of this. I remember when I was really saying to you, Troy, like if I really put myself out there and say that, I talk with animals or I communicate with animals or, this and that, I remember thinking what will others think? And I was concerned about family members. I was concerned about friends. I was concerned about the people that knew me in the corporate world, looking at me differently. And I had all these, that little voice in my head saying, do you really want to do this and let them know that this is really who you are? And I remember saying to you, Troy, I'm going public with this. And are you okay with that? And you said that you were, and I said, what about, and I mentioned, what about so-and-so or what about these family members or what about that? Do you remember what you told me?
I have the idea of how I responded. I just don't remember exactly what I told you.
Right.
What did I tell you?
You said, yeah, I remember specifically you said, Mary Beth, listen, I've known who you are since the day I met you. And if others aren't on board, you said it maybe not in these words, but you said, if others aren't going to be on board with that, that's okay. But I've known who you are since then, and this is who you are. So pretty much go for it. Does that align with what you remember?
Yeah, no, I knew the idea behind it. I just didn't know exactly what I said. So yeah, I'm sure.
So thank you for that too. Thank you for that.
Absolutely. Well, it's true. It's true. And yeah, being your authentic self is where it's at.
Never felt better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing animals teach us, right?
That's right.
Because that's who they are.
That's who
They're
they are.
always their authentic selves. They're always, if they feel a certain way or if there's something going on, that's who they will be. That's what they will do.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Troy, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on here. And I'm so grateful that everybody has gotten a chance to meet the voice. And if anybody's watching this video, to see the person that I've often referred to in many, many episodes, and I'm sure we'll be referring to in many, many more. And when the time is right, I look forward to part two.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's been a great pleasure.
Aw, thanks, Troy. Awesome. So everybody, I'm so excited that you got to meet Troy. I'm really, really happy for this time together. If you're still here listening to this, thank you so much. And let's see where this will go and where what will come next out of this for part two, whenever part two will be. So sending much, much love, a space with many, many heart hugs. And until next time, bye for now.
Bye.